6 as we're just starting the second hour of the Mike McFeely Show on the number one rated Mighty 790 KFGO. And funny little story for you. I was not supposed to be here today. I was supposed to be in the middle of Lake of the Woods right now as we speak at 3:06 catching walleyes and sauger and perch and everything else that swims around with their little fins in Lake of the Woods. Lo and behold, our KFGO Ballard's stop-and-go fishing trip was supposed to leave yesterday at 2 p.m. from the KFGO parking lot. What was happening at 2 p.m. yesterday in the KFGO parking lot and everywhere else in the Red River Valley? What was happening? Yeah, it was blowing about 60 miles an hour, and it was a whiteout, and it was a blizzard, and it was terrible. And so we have hopefully postponed. I don't want to say canceled. I want to say postponed the KFGO stop-and-go Ballard's fishing trip to Lake of the Woods. We're going to try to find another weekend to reschedule. I think we had darn near 50 people signed up. I know it's tough for people's schedules to get days off here and there and make things work, but hopefully we can find a couple of days to get that trip on up there. There's all kinds of people interested in it, and I think that if we give people enough notice, maybe even more people will sign up. We still had some room. So, bottom line is, the fishing trip for now has been postponed. I am not on it because it has been postponed. And instead, I am here in studio doing the Mike McFeely Show today, and we are glad to have you with us. Our phone numbers are 237, although I'd really like to be fishing, 5948 or 800-880-5346. You can email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com or you can text message us at 35270. Interestingly enough, the person who was supposed to guest host for me today just happens to be on the Public Service Commission in North Dakota. You know him. His name is Brian Kalk. And when Brian and I were talking last night about him not having to come to Fargo to do the show, he was telling me about the natural gas explosion in Winnipeg and how that's going to affect customers in North Dakota and Minnesota. And I said, Brian, why don't you stop telling me about it tonight and come on my show tomorrow, and we can have a discussion so that everybody can listen in on it. So I want to welcome Brian Kalk to the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday afternoon. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, super, Mike. Thanks for having me on. But, you know, I think, what do they say? A bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work.
I'm going to be honest. I wish you were in this chair right now, and I wish I was in the middle of Lake of the Woods having a Diet Pepsi, BSing with somebody in the fish house trying to catch some walleyes. I'm not going to lie about that.
Well, I just hope it all works out. I tell you, it was a heck of a weekend in North Dakota. The weather in the east was rough, and in Bismarck yesterday, you couldn't see anything. So, you know, I was just very glad that the weekend is behind us. But like you and I were talking, that, you know, that incident that took place up in Winnipeg where the pipeline exploded, you know, I don't think a lot of folks, myself included, right away realized this would impact North Dakota the way it did. And my phone started ringing off the hook Saturday with Xcel Energy and others, you know, trying to brace us what could be coming our way with the shortage of natural gas because of that pipeline interruption. And I'll tell you, Mike, it just, I think, showed a lot of things that, you know, more redundancy in natural gas systems is needed. And luckily, I think the company, I'm critical of Xcel on occasion, but they really did a really bang-up job. And also want to thank KFGO for getting the word out there about this whole thing.
Well, let me ask you said more redundancy in natural gas is needed. Speak to a person who doesn't understand the natural gas or public service very well. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, it's kind of, if you think about, you know, you have, you know, instead of having one big pipe going into your house, you have a bunch of little loops around there. I shouldn't say little loops, but you have loops in a system to where, you know, like the electricity grid, if you've got one line that goes out, but you've got a different way to feed in electricity, you're able to keep the power on when you lose a line here or there. You know, the growth of natural gas in our country is just has more things using natural gas. And, you know, really that line coming out of Canada is a huge feed into western Minnesota, eastern North Dakota. And we have some feeds that come from the center part of the state, but mostly that's the workhorse. And, you know, there are a lot of projects in the works in North Dakota to, you know, capture this natural gas that's being flared off and get it to markets that need it. Wouldn't it be great if we could have a line coming across North Dakota plugging in somewhere between, I don't know, just for throw it out there, Grand Forks and Fargo, that could have helped out this whole region? So that's what I think we have to use this as an opportunity to refocus the discussion about stop the flaring, get more pipelines for gas, and really, you know, learn from this lesson?
And there were two main things that people have been asking me about, Brian, and that was the first one, is, gosh, isn't it ironic that they're burning off all this natural gas in North Dakota in the western part of the state, and the oil companies, and in their view, the state doesn't really seem to be that concerned about it. And yet when this happens, that's everybody said, well, why don't we just have the natural gas from North Dakota? You know, why do we have to depend on a big pipeline coming out of Winnipeg or out of Manitoba? So I don't think people were too far off in thinking that way, Brian, were they?
No, I think your people are spot on. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I speak for myself. It just, when you see the gas being flared, it seems like a heck of a waste. But then when you talk to the folks that are in the industry, you know, the commission has cited several big natural gas processing plants where we take the natural gas and it goes into propane and ethane and butane, and they're developing markets for that. What has to happen is you have to get a buyer for this stuff on a day-to-day basis, and then somebody will build a pipeline, and then the PSC may or may not be involved in it, depending what size it is and all that. But there's got to be enough use for it, and I think that's the challenge. We're trying to figure out, you know, what's the new demand going to be for natural gas? What's the new demand going to be for all these resources so someone can build a business case to pay for a pipeline? And, you know, if you know, because somebody's going to pay for it at the end of the day, that the customers always, but up front, somebody's got to put up a lot of that capital.
Brian Kalk, Public Service Commission in North Dakota, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. I should give an update, by the way, as well, that XL Energy earlier today, I think about 1 o'clock or 1:30 or so, did send out their final message that all conservation appeals along the natural gas system have been called off. They're saying people can return to normal. You can turn your thermostats back up to 72 or wherever you keep them after having been asking their customers over the weekend to get it down to 60 to conserve. Brian, was XL Energy correct in doing that, in asking its customers to bump that thermostat down to 60? Because that's the other, of course, question that people are asking me is why was the customers asked to suffer so much here? Because 60 is not exactly freezing, but it ain't exactly warm either, Brian.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, I think XL did exactly what they needed to do to make sure that you could keep that gas going there. If you know, how do you actually measure the impact of that? I think, you know, very hard to quantify, but by asking people to lower the temperature, you know, you cut down on the demand. And so that might have been able to, you know, spread load what was available to come down the pipe and other venues that were coming in to keep everybody to get a little bit of heat so you weren't forced with, you know, the people not having any gas. XL had moved, was in the process of moving almost 75 to 100 different workers just in case there wouldn't have been enough gas. And pilot lights started going out, trying to maybe have to do restarts, you know, maybe prioritizing that if it would have got down to critical levels, the hospital gets this, but not this. And so I think I appreciate everybody doing that, and I think it was the right thing to do.
I'm going to read you an email that just came in, because this is somebody that named Mike who's emailing in, who was not happy with XL doing that. And I'll let him explain it in the email, because he does a pretty good job of outlining his concern way better than I could summarize here. So stick with me for just a minute or two.
Absolutely.
It says, Mike, XL Energy has enough redundancies in place to supply everyone with gas when a pipeline incident happens like it did. The problem is that they have to pay more for these extra supplies to come from other sources. So to save their bottom line, they are asking their customers to suffer and conserve. I have a newborn, and I did not turn the thermostat down. If it was just me and my wife, I would have. But when I hear that XL has enough gas, they just don't want to pay the premium price, it makes me wonder why we should suffer. If this is true, then the next time it is really an emergency and we really do need to conserve energy, will people be reluctant to conserve? And he says, do you know if this is true? And I think his point is that if XL would have gone through their supplies, they would have had to buy natural gas from another supplier at a higher rate, which would have cut into XL's profits. So instead of doing that, they're asking their customers to conserve. Do you understand the point he's making?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. If you know, just kind of walk through a little bit, I get the thing that I hope XL put out there, and I think they did, that, you know, it's a personal choice. If you've got an elderly couple that doesn't want to do that, I mean, that's they have to take care of what they have to do, and I think that's understood. And so the people that can turn down, they did turn down. And to the email concern about the cost, the way the rates are set up for natural gas is that there's a fixed charge every month about how much you use. You know, it's a set rate for, I don't know, let's just say $10 a house. But then there's something called the flow-through tariff, that whatever Xcel pays for the gas is what the customer pays for the gas. So when gas rates are low, your gas bill is naturally down. When gas rates go up, they go up. So Xcel has no incentive to not buy the gas when they need it. And everything, I talked with them all throughout the weekend, and there was concern in their voice and about meeting the need. They can't hedge the way that that's a regulated market. So we know what they pay for the gas, and that's just the way it works out. So there will be natural ebbs and flows in the winter on gas, but I don't see that as what happened at all, Mike.
Okay, and that's a good answer to a good question, I thought. One last question, and I'm not sure, and I don't think that the Public Service Commission, Brian, has anything to do with propane in the state or supplies or anything else, but a big story in the news recently has been propane and the cost of propane and how it's really pinching some people. What can you tell us about that? Is that strictly a supply and demand thing, or is the Public Service Commission looking at that as well?
Well, Mike, you set it up, and we don't have any jurisdiction on propane whatsoever. We do inspect that. There's two towns, Granville and Headinger, that have propane facilities that we inspect those. But what I've been able to unwrap with the propane incident is that it's, once again, trying to figure out what the demand is going to be in the winter. So the refineries that make propane, the suppliers, and once again, a big chunk of it comes out of Canada down into Carrington. You know, they predicted this X amount of what would be used this year. Then with the high amount used for corn drying, they never were able to recover from that. And that's not to say that it's the corn guy's fault that propane costs are up, but it's nobody quite knew what the demand was going to be, so they didn't have enough. And this is something that I just found out talking with some of the propane groups, is we're actually exporting some propane this year because they thought way back when that the crops weren't going to be that good, so they would have an excess of propane. So it's trying to get a handle on what the demand's going to be so the suppliers can have it in place. And on the PSC, like I was talking before about siting these gas projects, we have this natural gas, and propane is a subset of natural gas. So any of those things we can build in North Dakota are just going to help us out. And I think it's just trying to figure out what the new norm is for natural gas, what the new norm is for propane, get the facilities built, and get some consistency so people know what to produce is where we got to go on this, because it's crazy. I got friends back in Botno that are certainly giving me an earful when they got to pay. But one of them did call me, though, Mike, and he said, "Hey, listen, Brian, I bought it this summer and I paid $1.45 a gallon. I got a 10% discount." So the earlier people can buy it, the better. But I understand, too, it is money, so it's but the point, I think the takeaway for me is that, once again, understanding that we've got a resource in the state that we should be able to do something with and get it to the people in the state to help us benefit everyone.
I agree 100%, Brian. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for having to punt on hosting my show today, although you probably weren't too crazy about driving to Fargo from Bismarck today anyway. But thanks for being flexible and come back and do my show again sometime, okay?
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and it's just I like doing what we do out here. We just got to keep working hard to solve these problems.
All right, cool, Brian. Thank you. That's Brian Kalk. He is the Public Service Commissioner, one of them, for the great state of North Dakota.